Welcome, I am your host for today's story, the very first tale of Paperback Podcast. Do not worry, we have gone through much of it to prevent madness. A full 83% of listeners will be perfectly safe. Please enjoy.
Paper Future Tellers and Elder Gods. Originally published in the e-zine Monologuing by LJ Longo. Bridger Han, mail carrier to the cosmos, noticed the hole in the sky as soon as he crested the hill near the retirement community for elder gods. He made the most adorable annoyed sound in his throat. The edges were maddeningly straight, very geometrical. Diamonds and triangles kept opening to reveal more diamonds and triangles, opening and opening, but never revealing any of its secrets. The mail carrier slowed before a box, made his drop, and only looked away from the weirdness in the sky to finger the next stop. This particular hole in the sky reminded Bridger of those origami future tellers from middle school. He snorted without nostalgia, remembering the chalk-dusted halls and the weird yellow halogen lights, that terrible, wonderful day when a crowd of girls with loose hair clips and crooked teeth all pushed around his desk and thrust colored paper into his hands. They demanded origami. He had tried to explain he was not Japanese, undoubtedly the top of the Asian coolness scale, but Vietnamese, which was certainly nearer to the bottom. This particular nuance was lost on the girls, and they demanded future tellers. And because Bridger had seen them made, and because he wanted to grow into the sort of man who would always please the ladies, Bridger painstakingly folded and creased the thick, colorful paper. For the morning, he was the most popular boy in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The girls smiled and complimented him, pulled each other's hair to get nearer to him, held his hand and purred while more paper was brought. When he held the last of the future tellers, they chased him to kiss him. He laughed like his heart would break, which of course, it did. At lunchtime, when the girls crowded around him to eat. Even at that age, Bridger knew his power over them was about to be destroyed. He had no idea what his mother had packed inside. Maybe he'd get lucky, and it would be a pretty bang zhao, a dumpling folded like a cute little tent. The girls would like that. Maybe it would be a normal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Maybe it would be an unusual but acceptable hard-boiled eggs and carrots. He remembered praying that it was something unintrusive, chicken and rice, badly made spaghetti, bah me. He closed his eyes as he opened the lunchbox. The girls gasped. Oh no. Bridger opened his eyes and looked at his lunch. His lunch looked back. Grilled fish wrapped in a banana leaf. One of his favorites. His mouth watered a little at the delicious smell of the lime, garlic, and chili. One of the girls, the one who wore sparkles and black and had written, "Will marry Bridger," as all of the possible futures for her future teller, screamed in his ear. And that was the last time Bridger Han had ever been confused for popular. Bridger parked and locked the LLV in the loading zone of the retirement community for elder gods. He hoisted the packages and the relay of mail into his satchel and tilted his head far back to take another long look at the weird hole in the sky. The future teller's diamonds had gotten more specific. He could see numbers on the folds, but not simple ones like his harem of little girls had once written. Complex numbers with weird symbols over the top and other littler numbers next to them. It hurt his sanity to try and understand, so Bridger shook his head like an old man with a yard full of hooligans. He trudged into the retirement community for elder gods to deliver the cluster box. The sliding glass door winked like the future teller and let him slip between the folds. Jesus fucking Christ. The lobby was not normal. I mean, of course it wasn't. It's the lobby of a retirement community for elder gods. Normal is subjective. However, I will grant you that the lobby was less itself than usual. Grand circles and childishly scrawled messages about the future buzzed past Bridger's head. The front desk melted like ice cream, and the door attendant looked up from her newspaper, which was comprised entirely of butterflies holding very, very still.
Good morning, Mr. Han.
Bridger didn't remember there ever being a beautiful woman behind the front desk. She was fairly human, all things considered. There were extra eyes. Still, she had very carefully balanced the eyeshadow on all of her lids, so she was quite pretty. Her name tag said Cheryl, but something about the writing made Bridger's teeth squirm. Hello there, Cheryl. He smiled professionally. As if he saw her sitting there every day, he gestured to the floating, smoking door leading to the mail clusters.
You in charge of the redecorating?
No, not me,
Cheryl giggled. Richard leaned on the counter, accidentally flirting with the door attendant. It was practically part of the job, after all.
Oh, some dummy staring too long into the abyss, getting one of the residents fired up?
Cheryl rolled all five of her eyes and scoffed.
My guess is a middle school math teacher. Things have gotten very out of it.
A plastic pony galloped across her desk, with the Pythagorean theorem chomping at its heels. Cheryl shrugged.
Well, I'm sure that the powers that be will balance again once the sacrifice is finished. The mailroom is unbearably disgusting, though. So sorry.
Bridger glanced where he knew the cluster of mailboxes awaited his rusty arrow key. The walls of letterboxes had been replaced by fish heads, jaws slack, eyes glistening, waiting to be keyed open. The resident numbers were still legible, glowing even above the stinky fish. Bridger put his master key into the lock, ready to swing the whole wall open, but he heard a hungry growl and the churn of mysterious depths on the other side of the wall. So instead, he delivered the letters and the magazines by sticking his thumb into the fish's mouths and opening their gullets wide. They gulped and wiggled, stuck in the wall, helpless to resist the mail he fed them. When they swallowed, it made the dry metallic clink of a letter professionally delivered. The whole room smelled like lime, chili, and grilled banana leaf. In addition to the fish. Cheryl very kindly had a sanitary wipe ready for Bridger when he emerged from the mailroom.
You're a trooper, Mr. Han, a real live everyday hero.
Just a mail carrier.
He took the napkin, rubbed the scales and fish spit off his thumb, and looked at the stairwell, which was bouncing.
What kind of sacrifices are we talking about here?
Human,
Cheryl said sweetly, and held out a small trash can to take the used wipe.
I think the teacher made a life debt or something. Wanted to reach his students, or control them better. Maybe it was the PTA he was fighting.
She leaned forward on the desk and batted her five eyes at Bridger.
I don't remember. Are you going to take the elevator to deliver those? I could give you the key.
The elevator looked perfectly innocent. It was drawn in chalk on the wall, but the doors pinged open reliably. The light inside didn't even flicker, so it seemed perfectly safe, which is why Bridger took the stairs.
No thanks, though. I've got to stick to protocol.
Cheryl's smile was unfailing.
All right, then.
Bridger could feel the rattling of a truly bonkers brain beating around him as he hopped and skipped up the quivering staircase. Distantly, he heard the sounds of little girls laughing, probably as they chased someone to kiss him, then screaming, in that fake, shrill way that little girls have when they start to form a pack against someone they are not going to kiss. When Bridger opened the door to the complex's second floor, instead of the neat, orderly apartments, he stared into the chaos of a middle school hallway. Maybe it was recess? Maybe it was lunchtime? Maybe it was that kind of free-for-all that haunted every teacher's nightmares? Either way, Bridger Han would make his deliveries and keep on schedule. He wasn't a hero, just a mail carrier. It wasn't his job to sort out reality or to save a gaggle of little girls from a demonic math teacher. At first, the children didn't notice Bridger as he walked by, packages firmly under his arm. He strode through the hallway toward the door that said 205, with a confidence befitting an employee of the United States Postal Service. He rapped his knuckles on the door and called professionally,
"Delivery."
Every lopsided ponytail flickered. Ladies love a man in uniform. Bridger scanned the package, left it on the doorstep, then continued down the hall to 210. The little girls circled around him.
Hey, Mr. Postman.
One of them stood boldly in his way and licked her braces.
Do you have a letter for me?
No.
Bridger swallowed hard. He was terrified of little girls at this age. Of being liked by them, of not being liked by them. These tiny females had all the power of a woman, but none of the control. A grown man could not bargain with a little girl. She giggled and bashfully swung her hips and looked at her friends for their support. Bridger walked crisply around her and straight to room 210. He rapped on the door and called, "Delivery!" then stuck the package into the mail slot. It was sucked in with a sound like his mother slurping noodle soup. The girls all giggled, and Butcher saw they had formed a single file line behind him. One of them, all golden curls and pink spandex, offered him a purple square of construction paper.
Mr. Mailman, can you make me origami?
He backed away from her cuteness and her innocent insistence.
We prefer mail carrier these days.
She glared at him, and Bridger felt himself shrinking under the burden of her disapproval. The mailbag filled with small parcels was suddenly too heavy for him to shoulder. Even when he shortened the strap as far as it could go, the bag lay limply on the floor. The little girl, now taller than him, pushed the purple square of paper at him again.
Make me origami.
The crowd loomed now, and Bridger squirmed in his too big jacket and tried to pick up the oversized satchel. He saw the anger in their eyes and heard the gnashing of their braces.
Okay, but you have to do something for me first.
Kiss, kiss!
The girl screamed. Bridger ducked his head under his two large sleeves.
No! Play post office with me!
The girls talked amongst each other, debating this request. He tried to sweeten the pot and waved his sleeve at the satchel.
I make a great origami swan, but I can't take a break and play until I deliver these packages.
The little girls very neatly dealt with this impediment by grabbing the packages. They made a game of running to deliver them first, and they moved so quickly that Bridger barely had time to roll up his sleeves and pant legs. He had just decided to run for the fire escape instead of bolting for the stairs when the girls reached their doors. They rapped professionally with their knuckles and called,
"Delivery!"
just as he had. Each door swung open, and a multicolored cloth tentacle reached out to take the package. Then a second tentacle emerged from each door and circled around the girls' waists. The children screamed as they were pulled into the air and fought off the monsters trying to devour them. Cries of,
"Help!"
and,
"Don't eat me!"
and,
"I'm too pretty to die!"
filled the air, and Bridger knew there was only one way to save the small human sacrifices. He ran away.
"Sorry, girls, I'm late for my math test."
As he ran, Bridger folded the purple paper. After his brief flirtation with celebrity, he had learned a lot of origami. Even today, Bridger could create just about anything with a square of paper, except something impressive enough to erase the memory of a whole fish staring out of his lunchbox. But what he made was not a swan or a future teller. It was a throwing star.
"What a ruckus!"
The voice of Bridger's fifth-grade math teacher boomed through the hallways. Even the stretchy tentacles stiffened and put down their squirming snacks. The little girls stepped clear shamefully, put their hands behind their backs, and stared at their shoes.
"All of you into the classroom right this instant, and open your textbooks to page 40. No recess, no lunch, no bathroom breaks, until you finish questions 1 through 10,025.
Bridger joined the group of children filing obediently into the room, and for a moment he was just as taken in by the elder god as the little girls. Just as small and humiliated, just as desperate to please the tyrant by giving the correct answer the right equation. As he sat at his desk and pulled on his satchel, Bridger looked inside. Amid the broken pencils and ripped paper, right next to his overstuffed lunchbox, was the pocket full of outgoing mail. That's right. Bridger Hahn was a mail carrier for the United States Postal Service. He had to finish his deliveries. He had to get back on schedule. He was part of a union. The math teacher snapped at the chalkboard, and the tentacles under his jacket wrapped around the legs of a little girl who had answered incorrectly. Bridger sucked in a breath and stood tall. He unrolled the sleeves of his uniform to cover his arms as they grew large enough to fill out the shirt again, and he adjusted the satchel strap until it fit. He was not going to be cowed by some insane elder god, not when he had just started earning vacation and sick time.
"Sit down, young man. No bathroom breaks."
Bridger did not sit. He threw the paper-throwing star directly into the eyes of the math teacher. He knew his aim was good, but he never expected the throwing star to slice through the top of the teacher's head. The man's skull slipped like a bad toupee, and raw calculus rushed out.
"Yikes!"
Bridger exclaimed.
"I didn't think it'd be that easy."
The fount of math flooded the room in minutes, numbers and symbols clinking together and almost making logical sense. The little girls stood on their desks and looked to Bridger for help as their uncertain perches began to bob and float in the sea of bloody integers.
"Mr. Mailman, what do we do?"
Bridger reached into his satchel and pulled out sheet after sheet of construction paper. He folded paper swans, paper boats, paper airplanes, and they each multiplied as he pushed them across the swirling math to the girls. The children piled onto the floating paper until they were a flotilla of glitter, bangles, and scraped knees.
This way.
Bridger paddled towards the door, cutting his fingers on imaginary numbers.
If we can get down the stairs and out of the building, you can all fit in my mail truck, and then I'll take you back to the real world. Y'all from Atlantic City?
The little girl started paddling too, some faster than others, but they didn't head toward the door. They circled him.
Kiss! Kiss!
Some of them started to scream as their eyes began to multiply.
Kill! Kill!
Shouted some of the others as their fingers turned into long strings like jump ropes and tangled around him. The one with golden curls and pink spandex giggled behind him.
Do you know that heroes taste better? They make the best human sacrifices!
Oh, damn it!
Bridger snorted at his stupidity as the scrunchy soft tentacles circled his waist and tried to crawl under his skin.
You're that chick from the front desk. Cheryl?
The little girls melted into the sea of numbers and drew together into a weird, many-headed woman monster who, of course, cackled.
I am...
I'm sorry, audience. I have recently been informed I cannot say her name at this time, as it has the power to drive some of my mortal listeners to insanity and death. As I said, normal is subjective. So sorry for any inconvenience or momentary loss of bowel control, vision, or sanity caused by my negligence.
I am...
Cheryl!
Bridger let the insanity wash over him. By this time of his career, he'd seen a lot worse. He scolded the Elder God.
No one is going to worship you if you wake up from your ancient slumber. Go back to your room. You are too old to pull this shit.
The little girls hissed in unison, flailed their long fingers, and glared with multiple eyes. They took up their chant.
Kiss, kiss, kill, kill.
And drew nearer and nearer. Bridger couldn't escape the soft cotton she who will remain unnamed had wrapped him in. He couldn't pull himself free, couldn't tear the elastic band, could not untangle. And then he realized he didn't have to. He knew how to scare away the most tenacious of little girls. He reached into his satchel and pulled out his lunchbox. The pungent smell of chili, lime, and garlic spread like a disease as soon as he opened the lid. The numbers churned and roared away as all the little girls grimaced in disgust. He pushed the grilled fish into their faces, and it was his turn to laugh.
What's wrong? I thought you were hungry. It's delicious!
The Elder God shrieked in dismay and cringed back. The little girls, the headless math teacher, the sea of numbers all shrank away as she fled.
That's icky!
The Elder God whined and slithered into the hallway, where she promptly raced to her room and closed the door behind her. The retirement community for Elder Gods returned to its normal state, though once again I'll remind you, normal is subjective. However, it looked the way Bridger Hahn expected. He settled his uniform and his satchel and jogged towards the stairs. He checked his cell phone, glad to see it had survived the sea of numbers and the scrunchy tentacles. He decided to get back to the safety of the LLV before he reported the incident. Instead, the phone buzzed in his hand. His boss's crackling, toneless voice interrupted the ring, since they were too impatient to wait for Bridger to answer.
Regulation 2028, do not look at holes in the sky, you moron.
Sorry, boss. It won't happen again.
And Bridger Hahn sat in the back of his LLV and enjoyed his delicious lunch alone, not looking at the sky.
Hiya, I'm LJ Longo.
And I'm Lane McLeod Jackson.
Honey.
And I'm Lane McLeod Jackson.
Tales from the chaotic musings of your hosts, two love-struck creatives, Paperback Podcast unveils bi-monthly stories from an eclectic array of genres.
Here, we come out of our shells on the odd weeks of each month, hopefully to your delight and probably God's scorn.
Welcome, and enjoy.